Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome back to the Storybox podcast. My name is Jay Phantom, and I'm your host. Today, guys, I thought I'd change things up, so we'll be back with Reflection Fridays next week, hopefully, if all things go according to plan. But this week, I decided to do something very different and do a very special episode with you guys with a very special guest. His name is James Dutton, and he is the founder and CEO of a company called NutriCare, which basically provide natural, innovative healthcare products around the world because he can and it's in his DNA. Now, most of you would actually know or have seen some of the products on the shelves that NutriCare provides, one of them being Patch, which is a Band-Aid, which is non-adhesive. There's no chemicals lurking in it. And I've used this product in the past and I've found that the product itself is honestly amazing. You know, with a normal Band-Aid, you put on your wound, it will shrivel it up because of all the chemicals that are found within it. It doesn't allow it to breathe. But with Patch, I've found that this product actually works wonders. It doesn't constrict the wound at all. It enables the wound to heal or naturally and organically because of the fact of the way that it's made. It's made out of this very unique bamboo fiber that addresses the wound. So, and basically, James and I get talking about how he actually founded this company in the first place, so the story behind it, how he uncovered that his young son, Charlie, was reacting to common wound dressings like I do in the past as well, until he came up with a solution. And the story behind how Patch and NutriCare came about is quite fascinating. So I know you guys are going to get a lot out of it still. And more in this episode, James gets to talking about his definition of success, what that means to him, how he went and struggled with COVID at the moment. Now, this man, I kid you not, he looked really, really tired, but he was still full of energy. How he actually remains positive, how he keeps his business going through tough times. And he has a quote here. Why does he do what he do? Why does he do what he does? Because every household needs cleaner, more natural innovations to combat our health, wellness, environmental challenges. James is an awesome human being. I really enjoyed this chat. So without me going on and on and on, you guys know what time it is. It's time for me to shut up and to dive into the Storybox today. Hope you guys enjoy it with James Dutton. Well, everyone, I'm delighted to welcome James Dutton to the Storybox podcast today. Now, James is the founder of the brand called Patch. Now, I'm going to allow James to explain that in a moment. But before that, I just want to welcome you so much to Storybox podcast.
Mate, thanks so much for having us. It's exciting times. It's pretty nerve-wracking times around the world at the moment. And appreciate reaching out.
Yeah, no, absolute pleasure, man. Brittany connected us and I'm so glad that she did. Really interested by what she had to tell me in the email, but there's always reading something that someone sends you and there's always hearing it from the person themselves. So there's two sides to every aspect. So I'm curious to know, I guess, more about your backstory in a moment and why you decided to start Patch, what it is, yep, so people can get a broad understanding of it. And before we do that, I have one question that I love asking people, and that is, what is your definition of success?
Good question. Really good stumper. Definition of success for me is about my big goal is to create a cleaner, better world with what we do without trying to sound too story boxed. My goal is to basically make cleaner and better products for people around the world. And as we started from a little product such as Patch, we've really got our hands dirty and got to the grassroots with a lot of problems in the FMCG space and look at shape shifting that. So I think my definition of success is making change and enjoying what we do. Yeah, and probably just enough time to enjoy it. That's the hard part when you get caught up with the business in the startup mode, and you get entrenched in the in the day-to-day operations of it, you actually do miss out on the opportunity to stop and breathe and give yourself gratitude for what's been done. So we're in that sort of phase, and it's sort of happened the last few months in time. We've had quite a bit of change, obviously, happening around the world, and realizing what a powerful team that we've put together behind the brand, and how they've actually stepped up to the plate and performed throughout this uncertain time for us, for everyone around the world. That's been probably my biggest tick of success at the moment is how everybody's come together.
That's good, man. Good explanation. And I'm curious to know where this idea of success came from for you. Was it a gradual thing over time that you sort of realized it, or was there a catalyst moment? Like you mentioned what's going on in the world right now. Was that part of you sort of forming a definition, or was there something before that?
It was well before that. It was look. I've had many businesses. I've had successes, and I've had failures along the way. So combining a lot of the knowledge I've had previously and applying it to this business is probably part of the roadmap of my life. However, this business started because my son had a reaction to a dressing that I put onto his skin to repair a wound, thinking I was doing the right thing as a father. It caused a severe blistering of the skin, and then swelling and a bad reaction. And the more products I tried on his skin, the more the same problems happened with what I could buy off the shelf. So when I looked into what was wrong with him and how we can fix him for the future, I was fortunate at the time. I actually jumped out of a family business and we had time out down the coast in Mount Eliza in Victoria. And I had had the time around me to look at what's wrong with him, really. It's just having that pause moment to assess what was wrong with him. The more I looked into it, the more I found that he wasn't the only one in the market. There's 20 to 25% globally had the same issues, and nothing was being addressed. So we started making handmade strips at home made out of bamboo fibre because my wife was using bamboo fabric with another beautiful range of products in the market called Jack Organics, and they make organic baby wipes out of bamboo fibre as well and essential oils. So we had the resources in front of us. We had a problem in front of us, so I just set out to fix it. And that's where it all started.
Wow, were you ever worried about the competition?
I think if you worry about them too much, you distract from where you want to get to. So what I saw was 25% of the global population who had a problem with the market. So I looked at us as being not so much a competitive issue in the market. I looked at this as lifting a category value and adding value to people who couldn't use anything on the shelf. But in turn, that's now reflected into everybody being able to use a product now that's more natural. Because we use bamboo fibre and bamboo gauze, our products are fully 100% compostable. So we've removed plastic out of our production. We don't have any latex. So we've got a real big point of difference that we're adding value to a category rather than coming in and trying to say we're better than you. So we haven't really had to have that fight, which is nice.
That's interesting because we'll get to, I guess, beginning patch and the challenges and what that took in a moment. But you mentioned there for a moment you were in business with your family. Was that correct?
Yeah, I was. I was in my family business. My family's involved in the automotive industry, and it's been around now since 1911. I separated from that business in 2015. Prior to that, I had another couple of smaller businesses that we were trying to get off the ground. We got one up to a very, very large level. I got caught with the global financial crisis that caused an issue. And you learn from those things. We lost a lot of money at the time from those. However, obviously the little things that we learned along the way are sort of propelling this business in the right way. So it's one of those things. So, the family's still involved in the car industry. I'm not. We've got a very successful line of business now with Patch and NutriCare.
Why did you decide to leave the family business in the first place?
It was probably a combination of a few things, a few different directions with the business. It wasn't sort of gelling with where I was wanting to go in my career path. And we all came to a mutual decision to to separate, and that's when we moved down to Mount Eliza. And about 2 months later, this problem happened with my youngest son, Charlie, and caused this issue. So that was the reason why I had the time to apply to this.
And what have you found that you love the most about being in business in the first place?
I love the people. I love the passion that you can sort of encourage and get out of people towards, you know, what they apply themselves to and what they want to achieve as far as goals. I love the fact that you can actually empower someone to be outside of their comfort zone, give them a voice and let them be themselves and enjoy what we're doing together. That's one of the biggest things with such rapid growth of what we've had. We started in Australia in retail it was on the shelf in October 2017. Within the very short period of time, we're in Europe. We then went to America, and we're now in 34 countries around the world in 24 retailers. So it took us from a very rapid growth, but the problem with that is you lose the ability to celebrate the little wins and the milestones along the way. So. That's the most thing. I enjoy doing that the most with the team.
I remember when Patch first came on the shelf, and because my family is all organic, you know, we're looking for natural products. We don't necessarily like all the chemicals that are found in most products today, and you know, because of skin rashes, and we don't really use Band-Aids. We normally just, you know, patch it up for maybe an hour or 2 hours, but we're looking for something that didn't leave your finger, you know, when you tape it, makes it all like shriveled up and kind of ruins the skin. And when this came up on the shelf, I was intrigued. My mum was intrigued. So we bought some and we used it. And I have to say, it's an amazing product. Like,
no, thank you.
It didn't leave my finger shriveled up. It didn't cause any damage to my wound or anything like that. It basically was just an enabler. It was comfortable. It worked well. And I was able to take it off within the hour and not have any damage. we've got some in the house, I think, somewhere, but we've never had to use a Band-Aid for ages now because we're all older. But the point being is you've created a product that was needed to be in demand. And what were some of the biggest challenges that you had to face with making this product?
The biggest challenge, I suppose, is keeping up with the growth of where we wanted to go. It's one of those products I hope that it's one of my sayings is the fact that I hope you never have to wear one for our customers. But it's one of those things. The challenges are like any business. It's about trust and growth. Where your vision is. Does your vision align to the business goals, where you want to get to, how you want to do it. So I think a lot of the time that the challenges of developing a product from scratch is one thing, expanding it and keeping up with the demand is another. So I think we've had multiple of different challenges along the way, but it's one of those things, when you're caught up in it and you've got passionate people around you, nothing's really become too big of a problem. We've always worked together as a team and got around the hurdles as we get over them. I believe that you can always trip up and fall. It's not going to hurt anybody getting a few grazes, but we all try and sort of stop that and cushion it along the way. So I'm a bit different from a lot of business direction when it comes down to what are the hurdles, but I don't think we've always had hurdles. If you're not putting out, if you're not dealing with hurdles every day of running a business, you're not running a business properly, I suppose. No. But we've been pretty fortunate with it all.
And what would you say has been your biggest lesson? I mean, you mentioned there that your son had an allergic reaction to the previous tapes and everything like that. As a father, having to go through that and trying to find a solution for that, what would you say was your biggest lesson in that respect, but also your biggest lesson having to start the business and get it to different countries and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think, it's just the alignment of, you know, like-minded people. That's the initial hardest part is obviously once I started the journey of getting the products out to market further than our shores and getting it around the world is the ability to assess the right people that you've got working with you and obviously the trust comes into play there. So I think we've learnt lessons along the way there in certain ways. I do apologise, my phone is ringing. But we've learnt lessons along the way there. But I think they're probably the biggest challenges. I'm not a micromanager in any shape or form with our team, but you've got to know that you've got your back covered when you are going out to market like that and growing in the way that we did. We had a few little holes that we had to patch up and pardon the pun, but we got through them. But it's every business has got a little bit of a different challenge along the way, but they've all got the same underlying key points. It's always, you know, it always looks rosy on the outside and it looks successful and big and bold and the brand's growing. But on the back end of that, there's a lot of complexities that come along the way and how you sort of grow yourself and apply the team to grow with it.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I always say it's kind of like the iceberg, you know. Everyone always sees the tip of it, what's good, but no one ever seems to see the underneath part, which is like the biggest part. It's like the working machine, you know, almost. You've got all the failures, all the hard work, all the days where you feel flat, deflated, all these things that come into play with running a business, and you sort of got to work out, well, how can I get over this? And it's like a day-to-day recurrence. Like it's not, it doesn't not stop. And what would you say to a young person wanting to actually get into business for themselves?
If you really truly believe in what you want to do and where you want to go, that's the number one. Build yourself up for resilience. Realize that you're never going to get the golden yes on everything that you do. If I gave you the list of yeses, I'd probably have four times the amount of no's in the mix of that. So get ready for the fight. I think the biggest thing what I've learned the fact is I don't give up. You know, it's just one of those things. Is resilience is the key behind all of this. You can, you know. Where I want to get to this business too is a lot bigger, a lot greater than I probably scare half the team with some of the visions that I've got. But and you don't want to be labelled as being a visionary is one thing, but being a complete lunatic is another. And I think half of them would think I'm a lunatic if I told them all the stuff initially. But it's the challenge of starting a business is really just learning to be solid and belief in what you're doing. I believe anybody can make a success out of something or anything. Just don't give up. That's the biggest thing is get ready for a few knockdowns.
I have this saying that you're more than welcome to use in your team meetings and everything like that, but it's be persistent to remain consistent.
And I like that.
Yeah, so I came up with this probably beginning of this year actually, and it was sort of like a light bulb moment where I was like, well, this is what happens when I am persistent, and if I'm not persistent in this, I won't be consistent at it. You know, like I've never been good at procrastinating either. Like I'm not one of those people that puts things off for tomorrow, or I'm very organized, very scheduled, but I also have leeway to enjoy my life at the same time, but also run my business in the way that I feel that it's necessary to grow it.
Yep.
And this idea of being persistent, if you don't constantly do the thing that you actually want to do, nothing's going to get done. It's like there's another quote that I have, if you tell yourself you can't, you won't. If you tell yourself you can, you will. Like they both go hand in hand, and it's almost like, okay, well, I know this, now I've got to put it into practice. So I can tell myself everything under the sun, but if I don't actually follow through with it, it's just words. And there's another thing that goes along with that, which is words are cheap, actions are expensive. So value your actions above just mere words, but be a man of your word, or a person of your word, I should say as well, which is, it seems to me and it sounds like to me, James, that you are, and you've worked really, really hard to build Patch to where it is today. You mentioned that it's now in, I believe, 35 countries.
Yeah, 34 countries.
34 countries. I added another one there because that's coming, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't there like 193 countries in the world?
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot. We're a fair way off, mate. Don't worry about that. We're growing.
What's your biggest country in terms of supply and demand?
Probably in most recent time, it is right now anyway, it's taken over, which is the United States of America. The US, it's really sad and really heartfelt to see what's going on over there at the moment, especially with, business to our team, and just the sheer disregard for human life and human
hate.
It's really, really difficult to take, considering we've been there for quite some time now, and we've connected very, very closely with them. They've been very loyal supporters of what we're doing. It's just a heartfelt wish that everybody does treat everybody equally and live life as we all should, right? With a voice. It's a real heart side. So that's my biggest market, but it's also too my saddest market at the moment.
You're also trying to make a difference as well with your company and brand Patch. And you mentioned that a little bit in the introduction as well, that you are trying to make a difference, whether it's on the global environment as well, but also in individuals' lives. And in terms of actually, what sort of impact do you want to leave on people?
I want to leave as far as my footprint, I want to leave as small a footprint as possible, because ultimately our products are made so they will fully compost in the soil, the tube will break down. It's one of those nice things that we've actually got a product that physically is made from commercialization through to the retail shelves in a format whereby I don't care what impact it has after that, because the product will break down no matter what. So as far as our impact on the world and in people's lives, it shouldn't have any impact. We shouldn't be left behind at all. When it comes down to the goodwill and support behind the brand and how we've helped people, there's a lot of people out there that we mightn't think of being a very big thing about covering a wound or a scrape or something like that, but we've had mothers and various different people around the world write to us. There's my little walking past the background of me. But we've had various mothers and people around the world writing to us saying we can't believe how much they've changed their life, because they can now let their kids run out and play in the garden. They're not worried about them falling over and hurting themselves with cuts and scratches and then getting infected. So sometimes you just wonder about how such a small little thing can actually change dramatically people's day-to-day lifestyle and what they do. So it's really fortunate that we've got a business that makes us feel good about what we do and allows us to, it's a feel-good business, right? You're selling a product that doesn't impact the world, helps people around the world, whether it be for anyone who can't wear anything or everybody else in the whole platform, all the way through to, it's the running the B Corp business side of things, which is whereby we're doing profit with purpose and giving back wherever we can. So last year alone, I think we planted just on 20,000 trees to offset my flights and travel. And then ongoing now, what we're doing around the world with various groups in Haiti to East Timor. There's a lot more behind this business than the front-end product that sits on the shelf. We've always been truthful and stuck to our word on that, to make sure we do make a change and make impact with what we do. But on the consumer side, I wish there's no footprint or no impact left after we've done our job.
That's really good, James. Really good to hear that, honestly. What would you say is your biggest fear currently?
My biggest fear currently is probably the current global climate. Looking at what's happening across the US, what's happening in in various different areas around the world with, you know, everything from the virus through to political issues and humanity issues. There's a lot of things happening all at once. It's probably the 2020 has been a real hard start to the year for us as well. I mean, we went through fires in Australia to the virus through to most recently floods now in our production facility and dealing with loss of materials through to now a human rights issue across America. It's, I think if we can get through this first half of this year, it's a testament to how strong the brand's got within a very short period of time.
How do you motivate yourself, man? Like, how do you keep yourself positive?
Little footsteps that run around behind you, and unfortunately, it's banging doors at the moment. So I do apologize about the noise, but it's the little footsteps that walk around us, and the belief that I do have one of the biggest things. What the underlying thing about what you were saying before about how do you, you know, your core mission and what you, you know, how you drive yourself and apply yourself. The underlying thing behind all of what you were saying before there is belief.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in what you're here to do and what your goal is or where you want to get to or where your vision is of what you want to do, that's when you stop.
Yeah.
You know, you need to reset. You need to think about what you do. My belief is we're always going to get there. My belief is we're going to get to where we want to be. I want to get NutriCare up on a global stage with multiple products in different categories that make a change in category, that add value. We're never going to replicate other products on the shelf. We want to make things better. And if we're doing that, we want to take it to the public, which means we want to float NutriCare on a global scale and allow the public to be involved in it. That's my ultimate goal. We want to set up our own manufacturing. We want to do a whole series of different things globally that make change, and we can control what we do and be ethical around what we do as far as the whole process of manufacturing all the way through to the consumer use of it, education as well.
That's really good, James. I'm curious to know, we're talking about change quite a bit, and it seems to be this theme in either the media or what's going on in the world as part of, you know, political problems and the dilemmas that are happening in terms of hate, and nothing seems to actually be changing over there. And I'm curious to know from your perspective, how can someone actually bring about change? Is it actually possible in that sense?
I think they can. I think there's a difference between like genuine ethical change and change for profit. Right.
Yeah.
And the racketeering that comes around from profit, you know, profiting from pandemics or profiting from, you know, making statements. I think the brand needs to be solid behind where it's going and needs to have a good team in the space of, they need to be thinking not just about the biggest things in the whole thing. Like most recently, we shifted our shipping containers with our products coming from the factory. They were getting shipped out with plastic tape. It mightn't be thinking about a big thing, but if you start putting, you know, at the time, I think we had about 1,500 shipping container or shipping boxes, you know, in a container, 3.6 metres worth of tape per box to seal it up, equates to a fairly significant amount of plastic tape per shipment. So little things like that, thinking about the ethical little stamp that you can put on small things, the way you clean, the way you recycle, how much you stick to your word on it. It's a bit like your routine and your systematic way that you go about your business. It just needs to be reinforced and focused on, like with a business. And the more we can, yeah, everybody's not going to do it right the first time. We've got to think about how do we, like I didn't develop Patch to be a fully eco-focused product. It was about what's an easier non-reactive state that I can put on my son's skin. And it just so happened to be that we actually were able to make the product fully compostable and out of natural components. And then the first product came out with a biodegradable film on it. So we weren't perfect at that point, but the product was fully, the physical strip was compostable. Now we've got to a product whereby we just applied ourselves and kept on working it to refine and evolve. Everybody can't expect to be heroes overnight. That's no. probably the biggest takeaway. You're never going to be that way. All this talk that I hope and pray that it's actually getting to a point where it's going to be realistic, like Coca-Cola removing plastic bottles and working with more sustainable footprint about the way they deliver their products, right through to water manufacturers. You hope one day that all of this will actually make sense and they actually apply it rather than using it as a PR spin and driving people to believe that they're a good company. Mm. Even though they haven't delivered the good products yet. That's the sort of thing that I really hope for other businesses that follow our way of doing things and do things right. It's a big takeaway.
I think ethics as a whole is a very big topic to talk about, especially in business, because it always comes under fire by, okay, is it ethical enough to actually do it? And if it's not, then it always comes under the financial aspect as well.
Yep.
So
yep.
How much money am I going to lose if I'm going to be ethical in this situation? Yep. And for a business sense, it's almost like, well, I'm going to try my absolute best in quotation marks to be ethical and do the right thing for the environment. But then how much is it going to cost me to do that? So yeah. It's a big question, but it sounds like for you, James, and what you've been able to do with the actual product itself, you've been able to be not only ethical about it, you've been able to give back, you've been able to make a product that has made change it's made change in my life as well, and it's made change in probably countless others too. So I just want to honor you for that, James, and just say I'm appreciative of what you've been able to do and the resilient attitude that you have towards it all, even going through the hard yards. Mate, you look absolutely exhausted right now. I hope you don't mind me saying that.
It's been lots of long nights at the moment because we've got Europe and US and hoping that hoping these guys are safe. That's my worry at the moment. That's where we hope that over time they can get through this patch. Not aligning my products to their problems, but I really, really. Our hearts are really and minds are really concentrating on them at the moment, so that's why I'm probably looking a bit drawn. But
I completely understand you, mate.
I'm feeling really happy and feeling healthy within myself, and the focus is about there. So that sort of thing is all good.
Don't worry, the time zones kill me too. I mean, I speak to a lot of people from the States and the UK as well, and I'm normally a morning person anyway, but when it comes to the UK, it's always nighttime. And that's when my brain is sort of shutting off. So all the interviews that I do at night, I'm sort of like worried that it's not going to be the best because I'm starting to fizzle out. But even like at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, man, I'm just getting emails and responding to emails in the morning. Yep. Otherwise you miss the opportunity, So
that's it. So, I mean, majority of the time at the moment, it starts at about 4 a.m. Melbourne time now with the US. And then by the time I'm sort of finished and got the kids to bed and then I've taken the last range of phone calls, it can be anywhere up till, midnight. So it's a long day, right? And that's what I'm talking about, resilience. You've just got to have that fight to keep on motivating yourself into that direction to make sure you're going to get there. So, but we're feeling great and might look a bit shabby and tired, but holding up all right.
Inside, you're all good, mate. So that's really good to hear. What are some things, my last question for you, James, is what are some things that you do on a day-to-day basis that keeps you in that positive spirit?
I talk to a lot of people. I listen a hell of a lot more now than what I have done in the past. My daily routine at the moment has changed a little bit now that the kids are back in school and we've actually settled back in Australia. We were based overseas for quite some time. So my morning routine now, my morning ritual is to walk my son to school, which is great. It's not that far for walking, but to get into a rhythm of, hanging out with him in the morning, doing work in between of all of that and just motivating myself. I'm hanging out for the gyms to open back up because it's one thing that's been irritating me for quite some time is the fact of not being able to go and do it. I can see you've got yours in the background there. So
that's my mum's.
That's your mum's. So are you back in training now? You got back in the gym?
I haven't stopped, to be honest. Like even though COVID happened, if they locked me in my house, then that would be a problem. But because I've been able to go outside, you know, get in the fresh air, I'm normally up at 4 a.m. in the morning, going for a run, getting my mind right. And then when the equipment could open back up again, I was on that again. So, you know, even before that, I was doing a lot of push-ups, just trying to keep my body, you know, strong, healthy, plus also my mind as well. Because, you know, you have a choice to make in this period of time. There's a lot of negativity happening in the world. It's almost like, well, okay, I can choose to follow on with the negativity, or I can use this time to the best of my ability, because that's all we had was time. So I used it to strengthen myself, used it to focus on the business and do things that I wasn't able to do before, because I was just so busy going out all the time to uni or just traveling all over the place to do interviews. And now it's sort of like I'm able to do it from the comfort of my own home and still have time to just progress in so many other ways as well. So I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's been the biggest thing too, is the fact that all of our global team have been operating from home now since February, or the end of February, that when we first made the call. And I've found that people's productivity's gone up. If anything, that has slowed them down at working at different sporadic times and throughout the night and all that sort of thing. But their concentration and everything is probably that extra hour, their travelling time getting to and from the office has been phenomenally spent in their welfare. So from my side, it's been exciting to watch. It's one area that I wish that we've been able to apply ourselves in the same way throughout this time, but I've been shifting between countries and resetting a home up and all that sort of thing. So everyone's had a bit of different things along the way. But I found that from the whole lockdown scenario, that we have been able to be a bit more applied in our way of feeling good about what we're doing, because we're just getting that little bit of extra time for themselves and ourselves at each day. One thing I have picked up, and I have been doing a lot more of it recently, is meditation as well.
Yep.
And getting my mindset back into it. It's one of those things, because you've got that double-edged sword at the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, and the end of the day with the extra regions, it does drain you. But the mindset is really, I mean, we're sharp, we're really right on the point at the moment and making change with the business and growing. So very, very happy.
That's good, man. I feel like that's a good way to sort of end our conversation. James Dutton, thank you so much for coming on the Storybox podcast and sharing a little bit about your story.
Thanks so much, mate. Appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. I don't like this part, because it means that sadly we have come to an end of yet another incredible story. I just want to say thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening to our guest today. It is my prayer that you would have felt inspired, motivated, challenged in some way, and that you would have learned something new as well. If you'd like to hear more amazing stories like this one, you can do so now by searching up the Storybox on any podcast platform. It's that easy. If you did get something from our guest today, please share it around to a friend or family member that you think could benefit from hearing this powerful story. And before you go, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It will only take 30 seconds and it'll go towards reaching more people. Let's start changing lives through powerful stories like this one. Your support is greatly appreciated. Until next time, when we dive back into the story box, I'm Jay Phantom, and don't forget, your story is worth more than you know. I'll catch you next time.